Hello, this is the Oneita Hangout Episode 5 on Friday, January 27th, 2012. We are here with Magnus, Ravi, Cameron, and Ash. I'm Rastin Mayer. During this one-hour session, Ash and I will be answering questions related to the open-source Oneita social networking platform and framework. If the time permits, we will continue as a roundtable discussion about social networking and other relevant business and technology topics. So how's everybody today?
Great, doing good.
Awesome.
Doing good.
So I don't know in what order you guys signed up, so I'm just going to go with the order of the pictures that I see here. how's that? And let's start with Cameron. Did you have a question for us today?
Yeah, sure thing. So on my project, I'm going to be creating, a social website, obviously, and we're going to have different kind of groups of members, I would say. So in your database and in your framework, there's a person representation. I'm essentially going to need to represent different types of, not necessarily people, but one of them is going to be an agent. One of them is going to be a house. There's going to be a user. There's going to be a couple different types of people. So I was wondering how I would go about that, implementing that into the framework and the database. Like, what would be the best way to do that? Should I just kind of clone the person object and then kind of go working like that? Or should I create the person object to work with as kind of different entities within that?
Let me ask you a question. Are they still people? Like the agents, they log in and do things?
Yeah, so the agent's going to be able to log in.
Okay, so they're the same people, basically.
Yeah.
People is just, it's the base behavior people, right?
Yeah.
What you're looking for is different roles.
Well,
there's just so many ways to do it. The easiest one that, like, we sort of doing it on Oneita, but the easiest one would to be actually, there's a user type attached.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And that's not, the reason we're doing that is because, again, coming from the platform originally started from basically, it was a Joomla base. And then we sort of took the user type and we're still carrying it on. Technically, the best way to do this is called attaching roles. We don't have any mechanism to do that yet. Like, you can attach roles to different type of people. But that's one way. Basically, so the easiest one would be creating user types. Just, I think there's a tutorial on how to create user types, and you can do it within a few steps. And
sure.
And then in your code, you can check the user type. If it's agent, do this. If it's that. But it's a one-to-one. Basically, one person can only have one user type. You can have two user types, for example, two roles.
I see what you're saying.
The appropriate way of doing it is basically doing it through roles, that you create roles, and then people can be assigned to different roles. And
okay.
I can be an agent, at the same time be something else.
Okay.
And that one is basically you have to create a node called roles and then use... I don't know how familiar you are right now with Oneita. Basically, in Oneita, there are only two objects, node and edges. Nodes are the entities, the actual identifiable entities, and edges are the connection between them.
Mm-hmm.
So to create the roles is basically you create a role, and then you use the edge to connect it to a person or to whatever you want to do.
Okay.
So, yeah, that one is also simple, but it just requires actually building a component and do assignment and all those things. So the easiest way to do it is the user type, but the actual most sustainable and scalable solution is actually doing it through user through role based.
Yeah, that's probably the way I'd like to do that. And then with the role base, so one of the things is there's going to be an entity that's like an agent. There's going to be a house because this site is for social media for selling houses essentially.
Assign a role house.
So there's going to be like a house entity, and that's going to be controlled by an agent, and then a user.
I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah. So a user can also come in. The agent could be like, okay, this user is attached to this house, and then the user can start posting their own things about their own house.
Well, here's another thing. Yes, you can do all these things, but the whole idea of a social network is supposed to be meant in a generic way. I mean, you think about it, you can create a group for each house.
Mm-hmm.
The admins are the agent of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the followers are the people who are interested in the house, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very simple to do. And you can do it out of the box. So, yes, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the... Because really every solution is different. It really depends on how... But also it's easy to just reuse the elements that you have. just as I said, you have, because we had other people who had different other concepts, that there was an entity, someone was the admin of that entity, and there were people part of that entity. Well, that's just a group, basically.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that's also something you can, or you can specialize a group and just assign more roles within a group. That way you don't even need to build a whole role base. You can actually have different types of admins, you know.
Okay.
So there's so many ways to do this. So you have to figure out, based on what you explained to me, I think you actually have to go based on groups, because that actually makes a lot more sense, because you're not talking about the global assignment rather than per house assignment or per group.
Okay.
So that's also actually, I think, going based on the group. Again, that's just really my opinion at this, really, like, one minute description.
Yeah, of course. Within the groups, is it, would I also need to modify the roles, as you were saying?
Well, the group only comes with a group only comes with two, basically followers and admins.
Okay.
But you could, if you make your own groups, which you can basically extend easily, you can create any group types. If you have other people build their own specialist group type, you can add other things to it. That is basically becomes a role within that group. Basically, you have a group, then you create a connection called it, whatever you want to call it, and then assign people to that based on that connection.
Okay.
I can, like, if you basically, I can post some examples on the site once, basically, if you explain your problem in more detail, I can actually explain the code examples and things like that.
Sure, yeah. We can talk a little more after or whatnot. I'm just getting started, so I'm just looking through all this.
I think the best one is the group, because it's a very similar problem to many others who had the same problem, basically, I think having a within a group, you can assign roles. We have admins and followers, but if you need more, you can always create it and add it.
Okay, cool.
Rusty, did you have anything to add to that?
No, I was going to ask, like, why do you want different roles? I mean, you did specify some aspects. For example, you have agents, you have houses.
Uh-huh.
I'm also a big. I think it would be a good idea if you represent a house as a group. Because groups are, we have this concept called actor in a social network.
Mm-hmm.
An actor has an identity. He has an avatar and has information, and it has its own story feed. It has a story to tell. And it uses a list of applications or instances of those applications. The actor could be a person, or it could be a group of people. That's why we have person and group profiles. But the actor could be so many other things. It could be a house. It could be a truck. It could be a ship. It could be it could be a company. Because all of those, they have a story to tell. They have a status update that are coming out. And then the group has an administrator, a profile. An actor is represented by a profile. A profile has an admin. If it's a person profile, the person is the admin. If it's the a group of any kind, organization, a house or anything, the admin or the creator, the creator or whoever the creator assigns becomes the admin. Then people can follow that actor, and following means that you subscribe to the stories. And you and traditionally, when we build intranet or content management, we created roles to specify identity of people. This person is a regular user. This person is an agent. This person is an admin. But right now, profiles have identities. You can go on profile and say, "I'm an agent," or "I'm." So the only time you use roles in a social network is really if you want to assign permissions to that person. Like, okay, this person has this level of power in the system. Which, again, in a social network, power is distributed. Everyone can create their own profiles, they can create their own groups, and they become masters of their own domain. So when you create actual different roles or user types, you have to be careful that, what does this mean really? Is this just for the identity of person or no? This is really about access control.
Okay.
And because the more you avoid building new types of user type, the simpler your system becomes. And the more organic it becomes, and the better it is. Just to extrapolate on that topic.
Yeah, no, that's all great information. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. Next, Magnus, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. My question actually is more about the business aspects of the social network.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically wondering what different types of funding you can find for social networks and what the pros and cons are for choosing a specific path, basically. For instance, do you use this monetization thing? Do you use ads? Do you use... if you sell it to a company, do they fund the social network? And what effect does different funding have on the health of the social network and the impact of the usage?
Okay. Oh, well...
Oh, that's all on you, man.
I know.
I'm rusting all over.
sure. Well, when it gets to funding, do you mean funding as a business or in general...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
If you fund it, you can actually make some money on it, of course.
Of course, yeah.
You can get it up and running.
You know, something... I know making money out of advertisement has been really big on the internet. I was one of those people who had never been a big fan of making money out of advertisement. One, because I find it really annoying. I use ad blocker all the time. And second, I don't even own a TV. And second, let's get to this point. If you have a social network, you really need a lot of users to be able to make money. So... by the time you get to a user base, significant user base, you need to be able to fund your system. So advertising.
Because I'm actually targeting more of a...
Yeah.
The target I mean at the moment is I'm trying to find a way to give a good user base.
Here's the case. Facebook is doing it, and Twitter is doing it. And you can build a social network, you can have lots of people using it, and of course, once you have that, you can sell ads. And social network does allow you to build targeted ads. You can build apps that specifically determine, okay, how many male users, how many female users, what are their interests. And then you can build your own targeted ad network. In general, advertisement, if you want to make money, you got to have lots of users. I personally, I'm not very good at knowing how to make money out of advertisement. I'm the worst person to ask those kind of questions. My most favorite model is the freemium-premium model that you can sort of offer a service of some kind, a content or something, and then charge fees for it. Which is a very old model on the internet. It's taken actually from the porn industry. So they show content that people really, really wanted and they pay for it. And it depends what kind of porn you're showing. Like, look at Anaitopolis. We're selling code porn to geeks. it's software and code and development and business development and all of that. And these are the things we just love to deal with every day.
When people, you know, we do consulting and then people come and says, well, they want to build a social network. And the first thing they say, they just want to start. And the first thing they say is that, oh, it's going to be ad driven. I sort of feel like, you know, of course, I think you should do combination of ads possibly and other things. If it generates revenue, why not? But it's such an easy way out. It sort of makes you not want to think about other possibilities you can make money. I mean, there are other social networks right now on... they're not making money, but they've certainly raised money, like Instagram or Pinterest, that I don't know if they actually do have any active advertising.
They don't. Pinterest actually has an interesting model that so far... I don't know what the monetization model is, but right now, a lot of people, when they shop on Etsy and everything, they add they pin their interesting items. And on Pinterest, you can actually filter gifts and say, I'm looking for a $20 gift idea.
Okay.
And it filters all the items that people pin as interesting within $20 range. Right there, you can get ideas. So people done the content curation for you.
So what I'm saying is that ad driven? How's that ad driven?
I don't see any advertisement, but again, because I'm using ad blocker, maybe they do. Maybe I should log into Pinterest.
Well, I haven't seen it either. What I'm saying is that definitely, like, the big guys in the industry, like Facebook and Twitter, I mean, this got like 800 million. And what is it, 300 million? Yeah, I mean, it does provide significant revenue from the ads. But anything other than that, I'm not sure. It's good to have it at some point, if you think, but I think it shouldn't be the primary way of generating revenue, especially in the beginning. Again, that's just my idea, because with the 100,000 or 200,000, for me, I think after working on Naito, I think having 200,000 users is a lot of hard work, let alone having like 10 million or 20 million. I just think those are just not as easy as you see just, you know, like Facebook and Twitter. I mean, there are only two social networks within thousands of social networks out there. I mean, percentage-wise, if you want to look at it, there are only two or three of them that have that many users.
I'm actually targeting volunteer groups and organizations, mm-hmm. and for some of them, it's very defined, no ads. Some of them are not really putting the foot down and saying, oh, we want it a very clean environment. But then, again, the funding comes into play and discussing back and forth how we should want, like, get this up and running so we don't fall on the actual technical and support part of the whole business. So I'm just wondering about that. How do one find a way to...
So are you trying to build this business solution for them and they want to... Or how's that? Like, are you building one solution or is it like several solutions for each...
No, it's basically a customized version for each organization type and for each need. So it's basically I who makes the need generation of them and then try to build a proof of concept. And then
they're the one who are looking for funding, basically.
Yeah, me and them together. It's more of a strategic partnership.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah. So
buyer-seller.
You launch a business of that nature, unless you have a free and really addictive service of whatever type to get a lot of people use it, then selling ads makes sense. So that's why for a lot of startups, sure, if you have the user base, ad advertisement, it brings you extra income. Why not? Before you reach to that state, I don't think advertisement is going to make enough money unless you have enough resources to invest to reach the user base or from the beginning find alternative ways to monetize it. For example, the freemium model. There are so many different reasons. For example, one way which is very common is, especially in the content creation type of businesses, is that you build a business model that people contribute content, like Instagram or I'd like to say Flickr. I don't think Flickr was making crazy money. You build a business that people create content, and that's and you provide that for free. And then you can add additional applications that curates that content. For example, you build a site that people provide recipes. And then you can and you let people use that for free and on the content authoring tools and everything for free. But then you can build another app that, let's say, filters out the top 10% of the best recipes out of the system, and you can sell that one. You can sell it either as a mobile service or you can sell it as or look at Apple right now. They came up with their college book textbook concept that they're providing all the authoring tools for free. But if you want to sell a book and put it on their store, that's how they make money. And also, there is this other generation of companies that they're really building to exit. So they're not really thinking monetization. They're building a service that people really want to use, and they want to reach a significant user base. And that company has value to be bought out, let's say, because larger companies right now, they have all the money. They are the 1%, and they have they can't innovate. For them, the cost of starting a new department is really high. It's easier for them to just go and buy a small company. People rarely in a large company put their heart and mind into launching a project, but a small entrepreneur does that. So for them, it's a lot easier to pay some good amounts and buying their company. So a lot of the small services that people build are actually they're thinking that to sell the company within 2 or 3 years. And instead of selling software or selling website, they sell it as a business. And it's becoming a more and more popular concept starting last few years. Because technology has advanced, you can build and grow a technology and reach a user base in a much shorter time, in less than 5 years. Before, it would take you 10 years. So in that case, you don't even have to be profitable. You can be bought out and you can bring some strong branding value to an existing company who's struggling to survive. There are businesses that are focused on premium services and they're very niche and niche markets. They may never reach a user base, enough user base that they can make money out of advertisement, but they make money out of premium services and other things.
Great exit strategies, I guess.
Yeah,
this book I posted. It's a very good book because it's more like insider information, and I say that because we've been in the industry for a few years, and up until we saw this book, we had nobody tells you what's going on inside. Apparently, it turns out that VCs are actually not a good way to raise funds. I mean, unless you're thinking something really long term, and then how basically you have to look for more of a smaller chunk of money from a variety of people like angels and friends and family, because there's still the concept of an angel investor. Another thing that...
Just to interrupt you, sorry, because the book you post, because this is a voice, it's a podcast show, the book is called Early Exits, and it's by Basil Peters. Ash and I attended the seminar in town. It was for the first time. Surprisingly, the book was actually very, very good source. And it talks about small business that you start. You can start first with angel money, which are usually in the range of $20,000, $30,000. And then after that, you get seed money. The book really suggests you don't have to go for VC money, which usually starts around $2 million. Because before that stage, you can sell your company for an average of $30 million. And that's, again, according to this book. And it talks about that when angels and seed investors put in money, because they usually want to collect 10 times back, when they put in $20,000 or $100,000, by the time you sell a company, investors get about 10 times back, founders get up to 100 times back, VCs don't get that much back, and therefore they don't want you to sell the company. Sometimes they even block the sale because VCs plan for 10 times, a 10 years period. So if you're building a company to sell or building to exit, which is one way to make money these days apparently, this is a pretty good resource. It's a little bit specific to North America and Canada and British Columbia because he's from BC Vancouver, but what he talks about is still applies. Sorry, Ash, I interrupted you, but I wanted to mention the book on the show. So,
another thing I'm not sure if it works because we sort of had this because in the beginning we said, well, advertising doesn't necessarily work, and that was like 2-3 years ago. We had another idea, but we never really tested it to see if it works. Is to get sponsorships. Basically, you know, especially that would work for really niche communities. Which I'm guessing if yours is like, let's say, non-profit organization, they could attract right sponsors. Of course, they create brand awareness within the community, the sponsors, and at the same time, you guys get paid. And it's a more like a relevant advertising. But that's some place you can also look for, basically sponsorships, because you're talking about a few candidates which actually have a strong brand. Mm-hmm. And it goes with the community. The problem with the advertising is that just because it's so irrelevant, it could be anything, especially when you don't have any committee members. I could get advertising of things that I don't need. I mean, you know, somebody has to click on those. If they don't like it, they won't click it. People always think about advertising only one way. We get the ads, we make money, but somebody still has to click on the damn button.
You know? Yeah, the whole monetization of the web, it's just a castle of error, basically.
Well, that's what I said. I think the concept of... I don't think advertising is bad. I just think the whole concept of that, I want to start something, how are you going to make money? Oh, I'm going to do advertising. It's just so easy to say it. It's just... Basically, I haven't given enough thought. I'm looking at the community with 800 million people, so I'm guessing if they're doing it, I should be able to do it too. But it doesn't really work that way. But I think a combination of all of them are good as long as you know what is, like, basically it's a strategic plan. You know, so that's why I say sponsorship, because that is a form of advertising, but some people do appreciate that.
When they see a European sponsorships and sponsors.
So a lot of events in town are driven by sponsors, like a giant, like huge events, you know, and they're paying for it. So,
I know in the content.
Not so much code discussions.
No, it's okay. No,
that's exactly. Yeah, we talk. Actually, I think business development goes hand in hand with what we do. So Anahita is more than just software. Our vision is actually for Anahitapolis to become a startup hub and a place that people come in, get all the tools they need, and start and build their own business with their own hands, which is a great experience.
For me, I need to sort things out before I start digging down and start changing things. I need to have the bigger picture.
Yeah,
quite
that's
clear.
Of course. Yeah.
And a business model, especially hackers and hackerpreneurs, they really look at a business model just like yet another software problem. Because what is a business model? It's you build a machine that you put in $100, you get $300 out. And once you build that machine, you can go ask other people to put in $1,000 and you get $3,000 out. And you scale it up from that point. And having that type of approach, you can build businesses. And hackers defy so many traditional rules in business by simply approaching business as yet another software development project or technology problem. And they come up with really creative ways, which is the fun aspects. I think in the content business, people are actually paying for good content. I mean, Louis C.K. raised up to $1 million selling his show directly to people on the web. And that was one big news. And I see some new music bands are... Pamplemousses is one of my favorite bands that I listen to.
Yeah.
And these guys are...
Before all this, Radiohead actually did that. They released their whole album. And
yeah.
That was 6-7 years ago, actually.
Mm-hmm. So I think people do pay for good content. They pay for good... right now, I think that model works. If you have something to offer, people do pay for premium service. The other way... in the content business, especially user-generated content, is that you create environment for people to create content. And then you can build tools that give different perspective to those content or curate those content in an effective way. For example, Instagram is free right now, but there's so many other apps when you buy an iPhone that allow you, for example, manage your social graph. Or you can manage, or you can do certain customized photo uploads or prepare your content before uploading. And those ones you have to pay like $1, $2, $3, just prices of iPhone apps. And none of them are using advertisement. And I'm personally very interested in business models that do not use advertisement because it's a personal thing. I just don't like ads. I don't think
it's intrusive, basically.
Yeah. And the only way you can make more money out of them is to insult people more or assault them more, like visually. You want to get as many people in to get as many impressions, and sometimes that's not a good thing. Sometimes you want to letting only some type of people in. So I know people who made lots of money from ads. It's just I don't think I have the talent for that. So that's just me. So that's why I'm the wrong person to ask those kind of questions.
I want a clean experience when they use the service. So, but if I come up with anything, I will definitely post it on.
Please do, because I'm sure a lot of people want to know, and you never know. Maybe someday I start showing ads to you guys, huh? Hopefully not. Ravi, how are you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ravi.
Now we can hear you.
Yeah, doing good.
Awesome. Did you have a question for us?
Yeah, actually, one of the questions has been answered regarding the user types.
Okay.
Another question is regarding events. I want to develop an event module.
Okay.
But I think there is one thing like Ohana event engine. How far? I've seen them as your partners here, and they also have a. They also posted something on this Anahita site also. Can you just give me an understanding of what is the Ohana event engine thing? Can you give me an introduction about that?
Ohana is a completely separate project with Anahita. They have been like the Bionic team. Those guys, first of all, I really admire what they're doing. They're very ambitious, very hardworking, very talented. They were one of our first people who helped us both financially, and also they helped us they spread the word around. And the first version of event management system that Ohana built was actually using Anahita, and that's when Anahita was still in the alpha stage, and they actually launched their first SaaS service using Anahita for a while. But then after that, they decided to use Nuku framework, and right now seems like most of the news I'm getting from them, I don't know, is they're focused on the Ohana event that they have developed for Joomla as an extension. So from what I can see, it looks like something you install in a content management system and allows you to publish events. So it doesn't seem to behave as a social app, like a social app by me, I mean something you install in a social networking engine or social networking platform or framework. So, and I don't think Ohana will work on Anahita, because Anahita is no longer using Joomla. We changed Joomla to the point that it's no longer Joomla. I mean, it's just some code of Joomla left there. I think they mentioned they're going to develop a event app for Anahita. I don't know about that. So I think the best way is that if you want to ask anything about Ohana, you ask them directly, because I'm the wrong person to ask. It's their project. I can only answer you about Anahita event. There will be an Anahita event app, actually using a new code base as soon as we release 1.7. It's going to be very easy to build Anahita events, because we think Anahita events are basically groups with expiry dates. You start a group, people follow, and there is events going on, and then ends. And what you gather there becomes a history. So that's an event. The reason we didn't build it is because we usually build apps that we use ourselves first. And then, because that's how we improve a product. We use it every day ourselves, and we see what works, what doesn't work. And that's how we refine a product. And then we give that to the community. We haven't been hosting any events, so we really didn't have any use for it, and there were other items on the list that had the highest priority. So this year, we're starting to host events. We have Hangouts, for example, or we're going to have events in Vancouver that people are going to attend. So we're going to have an event application, and a lot of people have been asking for it. So, but did you have a specific question regarding events?
No, not really, because I'm planning to build myself. Then, if it's going to take more time for you guys to release an app, I know you don't promise any timelines. As I see.
Well, the thing
but
is,
can you give me just tentative timeline so that I can maybe?
You know what? I can't, because I don't know. That's why we don't.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's not because we're hiding the thing. We really. I know. I can tell you what we're gonna do next 2 weeks. The only things we know for sure is what I'm gonna do for the next 2 or 3 weeks. But anything further than that, we have a vision and we go to that direction. But the only thing we plan is only for the next 2-3 weeks. So as soon as the time comes in and said, okay, I'm gonna build an event app, we're gonna build it. But I don't think that should stop you from building one, because coding Anahita.
Then I'll go.
Yeah, and ask your questions on the group or look at the 1.6 code base. And
when you're building things, nothing goes to waste. That we have built things and then just chuck it out because we use other things. But the experience that we had from that is valuable. We go hours trying to find the problem and realize it was so easy to fix. You know, we could easily go and say, well, that was a waste of time, but it wasn't. You know, the fact that if you wanted to think everything was going to waste, I would have gone, like, we would have, I would have, I mean, I would have jumped out the window, basically. Like, you know, well, because, I mean, there are times that I spend 5-6 hours just to find something ridiculous that was right in front of me. And but the fact is that all these counts when something else comes similar that you know where to look. So nothing is a waste, even if you build it and rebuild it, and then, you know, the experience you gain from it, it's all valuable. So,
but here's the thing, because when we build something, we build a very generic, and very likely we build it as minimalist as possible, and it's something that we're going to use. It's going to suit our needs first, because that's the only way we know how to build a product and refine it. So with the experience you gain is that you learn how to get that and build something that suits your needs. So if you're a coder and a hacker, we do encourage you, get down to coding and build your own. Look at the 1.6 code base and ask questions, and if you want to build an event app and see what you come up with.
Do we have a place in the repository where we can post apps and stuff from the community for revision or for others to like reuse and...
Right now,
the best place is really the Git, like for things like that. If you have projects that you want to share with people, Git, I would suggest using Git basically, because it sort of gives you, it's a place for coders to basically have their code, especially if it's open source, which it is. It is open source, right? So Git is a very good community for hosting this type of thing, actually.
Then we can post the links on in the community.
Yeah, I mean, for sharing code, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
Sharing experiences.
Git is a very... It stays there forever. It's your space, basically. You create different repositories. Even Facebook, they have all their projects on Git for, you know, the open source projects they have.
And for the personal... For the personal projects that you do, also you can post links and information on your own profile. I mean, you do have the apps on Aita Police. So you have pages, you have to-dos, you have those. You can post links there, post information for other people to see. So if you like to, let's say if you write something and you want to distribute it, feel free to do so on your own profile.
Speaking of apps and whatnot, is there any plan for a real-time chat in integration, or have people tried this, or are people just using third-party code, or is there any news on that?
Yeah, actually, well, not in terms of developing it like tomorrow, but
yeah,
this is in general a messaging, a communication, a real-time communication is something we constantly are looking at, not something we might distribute, but something, because I don't believe these are the things you can distribute. It has to be done as a service, but it has to be done right. So it's something actually we're very interested in terms of real-time communication, and we would like to later on actually invest in this type of infrastructure for people to use.
Okay.
So, yes, that's one of our passions.
Yeah.
Not necessarily chat, though. When I was talking, I'm talking about generic real-time communication. It could be...
Okay.
And chat is...
Like this. It could be like this.
Exactly. Chat is just the medium. It's the end result of it, but it could be anything. Just think about it as generic communication. It just happens in real time.
Okay.
Yes, definitely. Something we're really interested in.
Okay. Maybe, I'm definitely interested in that as well. Maybe we can start a thread on there and just start.
Yeah, I just posted a thread that's been going on for quite some
time. There's actually a thread that's people been talking about
chat.
This.
Yeah, perfect.
Regarding chat, because I've seen a lot of third-party extensions that are available for Joomla, WordPress, Drupal, and one thing about chat, for a social network, it has to understand your social graph. On my chat, rather than what does the chat is going to show? It should show, let's say, if any of my followers or leaders or mutual contacts are online, and then I can chat with them. So it has to be able to query that and of course, then launch an environment that you can do real-time chat. That's, and again, another topic that Ash just mentioned. And a lot of these third-party applications, if you want to really use it as a proper chat, we should be able to get the third-party service to understand the social graph logic. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would be just any registered person on the system who wants to chat with another registered person, which is not really a social networking context. Mm-hmm. So it might work for a small, like if you have 100 people or 20 people, but it doesn't work if you have thousands of people. And so far, I haven't been impressed with any of the third-party extensions I've seen or services. I just wish if Google offered some kind of API that we could use. So it would have been nice. It would be nice if we could incorporate Hangout, for example, with Anaita, because instead somebody could just use this and plug it into an existing social network.
They would get link backs and everything.
Yeah, it would be nice, but if not, but we don't like to just patch things together to have an attractive feature list so it looks good on paper. We like to do things properly, and the focus of Anaita has always been infrastructure, not feature stuffing.
that's what it seems like from everything I've looked at, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. We do like chat, but we also like to build it properly. It's actually a very interesting challenge for us.
We do talk about this, I think, every other day. To me, it's just like one end of, like, I just look at it as messaging, and it could be one end you could be chatting with somebody, and the other end the person could get text notifications or whatever. It shouldn't be tied to just a chat on a site. It's not a customer service type of chat. You know what I mean? Like when you go to websites and there's like, you know, you can talk with the customer representative. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that sort of we're trying to avoid. You know, something actually does work. Does help people communicate in real time, basically. Whatever the medium is, basically. That's basically what I like us to like implement or something like that.
That's maybe something, because this year, I think the higher priority right now is mobile connectivity. We want people to be able to connect to a social network using a mobile. So chat is not yet a higher priority for us. Because I look at Path, I look at Instagram, I look at so many other social networks. And none of them are using chat, but mobile connectivity is like there are now social networks that are mobile only. I think the era of PC ended after Steve Jobs died. The more I look into the future, we see everything happening in the cloud on some kind of social networking infrastructure, and people connect to them using their smartphones and tablets. I think it's extremely important for us to have mobile connectivity. So that's going to be after 1.7 feature lists are done, for once we go to 1.8, and after that, the next immediate, I like to be able to invest more time on a lightweight template framework and also mobile connectivity. Mm-hmm. And then chat after that. Yes, because communication still is the purpose on a social network.
Mm-hmm.
So mobile applications went past web applications in December last year. In minutes. 94 minutes for mobile, and I think it was 81 or something for web applications per day.
Oh, that's actually, I didn't know
in the USA. And mm-hmm. I mean, take Africa, Asia, the mobile.
How do they calculate that, though?
No idea.
Yeah.
Those statistics, I guess.
But the fact that it happens is actually that says something about the mobile platform, and I think I don't think it would. The web app are still going to be around because web app are built based on open standards rather than mobile app, which are still device specific.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mobile apps are going to drive the web technology to become even more flexible because they have to compete now. And I think that's what you're seeing with it, having HTML5 and JavaScript, like the next generation of them are improving. I think one reason is because they have to now compete with basically the power of the native mobile apps. So I think that's a good thing, actually.
And it's Google who does this SOMOLO, or I'm not sure the acronym there, but Social Mobile Local, I guess it's...
No, that's Microsoft.
It's Microsoft who does that. Isn't it Google?
Mobile?
I think it was very sweet.
They have a site called SOMOLO
or something like that. I'm not really sure. Yeah, for instance, in my community with the volunteers, they arrange projects, they
mm-hmm.
raise money for the projects, and they use their mobiles on the ground, basically, when they perform their stuff and organize themselves. So, I mean, mobile, it's going to be important.
Yes, and that's basically... our focus is this year to basically make sure Anaita works with any kind of mobile client or any type of client, and then we build basically mobile infrastructure for people who want to basically build their services or solutions and have more, just basically more options out there for people who want to use.
I will check one thing out for you, Rustin.
Mm-hmm.
I found a couple of months ago there was an article about CSS3 and a new framework for sensing the type of mobile you're using and how to structure the content inside.
Yep.
If you're interested.
Very interested. In fact, any information we can find about mobile connectivity and mobile apps, because we do mobile app development on our consulting business. We've done over 2,000 hours of work there. So we just can't wait to build mobile connectivity for Anaita.
Mm-hmm.
But when the time is right now there are other priorities on the list. Because we do a lot of research in advance before we get our hands dirty with code. And sure,
how would you like, this is a question for all listeners of this podcast, how
mm-hmm.
would you like to receive information?
Just share them.
You want it to reach you?
Just share them on the groups, on the Premium Tribe Lounge, or even the Atrium, or anywhere you feel comfortable. There is not a specific... I think we are very easy to reach, actually, aren't we?
You just have to trip and contact us.
It's
internet, man. People are... you can find anybody now.
Yeah, so... all right, we... have maybe another 10 minutes. Does anybody have any questions or topics that you would like to discuss?
I could start asking about the code all day as I'm just starting to look through it. But what would you say would be the best way, obviously rather than going through it and just playing around with it, just to kind of familiarize yourself with all the kind of intricacies of the code, how everything is kind of connecting together? Is there any, just go through it and play with it pretty much?
Code reading is a good approach, and
yeah.
Basically you can look at and right now, because we are getting to the 1.6 embryo release, we are about to launch Anaitopolis using the new code base. I would look at the existing applications,
yeah,
and look at discussions, look at to-dos and pages, and because the code tells you a lot.
Yeah, I've been looking through it and
yeah.
playing with it.
And ask us questions.
What was the question?
Sure.
I got kicked out.
Just pretty much best way to go about familiarizing myself with the code.
I've started a series of tutorial on the 1.6. I already put two, which basically starts from the beginning, and then basically take one step at a time to introduce how to build. Finding on the next one basically, and then you can contribute basically by reading it, and if you want to change things. Are you following the group 1.6?
I don't think
Anaita?
So. Let me.
Yeah, follow that group. There are already two tutorials that will get you started basically, like from the beginning, how to actually set up the Anaita, what to do, how to do the.
Okay.
You have to do some symlinking and things like that to set up your development environment.
Uh-huh.
Because those are the things actually you wouldn't know anywhere, just but there. And then you can start by there, and then I will post more tutorial as we go on. And that should
cool.
be
yeah. Yeah, I was just wondering if I should because I haven't used Joomla, and I know your framework isn't the Joomla framework, but it uses some concepts and pieces from it. I was wondering if I should
actually, if you do understand, even this tutorial actually even explains those. So for people who are not familiar with that, no, it still uses the, if you're familiar with Joomla in terms of there's a component extensions and plugins and modules. So but I actually don't consider people knowing that, so it doesn't matter better. So I'm actually explaining all those in details.
Cool.
What they are like, and then I just assume there's when somebody comes and they don't know anything, sort of basically have to, which is good, I guess. Here I'll post a link here for you, and yes, if you follow this group,
I just followed it.
Yeah,
1.6.
Yeah,
a lot of recent action is happening there because 1.6 code, a lot has changed. If you're building anything, you may want to invest in looking at the new code and plan for that.
And I can pull that down from the SVN, but you're about to release an embryo, you said?
Yeah. Do you know about the alpha embryo and birth release concept? Because I know you're new.
Not particularly.
Okay. Alpha code is the code that is in the SVN. Like, we build a code that runs on our dev site. Most features are there, but it's not being used yet. That's the alpha code. And then when we use the code ourselves to run on Interpolis, we call it an embryo. So embryo is traditionally similar to beta. And then once we have a stable release, that's a birth.
Okay.
So once we have a birth, and birth, that's the code we give to other people to use.
Uh-huh.
We usually have multiple births after that, until we start building. If it's a fundamental change, it goes back to a new alpha and embryo and birth.
Okay.
And that's because of the fluid nature of Anahita code, because it's constantly evolving and changing, rather than software that changes every 3 months or every 6 months. And because we constantly change and push out updates. So the traditional way of the alpha, beta, and release candidate, that concept never works for us. So, and that's where it comes from. So right now, embryo is very close to be released, and yes, it will be still through the SVN. And when we have a birth release, then it will be actual packages that you can download.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But hackers and coders and those who are comfortable with SVN, you always have access to SVN. You can just check out and look at the code.
Perfect.
Yeah, awesome. And yes.
I have recently checked out that 1.6 code, and I installed it. But for some of the applications, backend interface is not working. Is that a problem at your end or?
Yes, because but here's the thing. A lot of the backends you see for the applications, they're not supposed to show. But Joomla has this concept that we have to modify it. Technically, you should be able to go to the list of extensions apps, and then there you see the list of apps, and you can manage them there. But the actual components backend, most of the time for the existing apps, they shouldn't even show. So the reason right now you go there and it throws an error is because those views are not supposed to be accessed to begin with. But we haven't finished polishing it. Again, because we're going to use the code ourselves for the site. When 1.7 is out, which is the stable release of the code, those are the type of polishing we will be doing. I was going to talk about a different topic, which I found. It's an old article, but it was talking about the golden age of tech blogging is over, or blogging in general. Do you guys think that blogging is being replaced by real-time microblogging, things like Twitter and Google Plus and Tumblr? What do you guys think about that?
Any of you guys blog?
No, I'm not a blogger myself.
No blogger here? Magnus, Ravi, do you guys blog?
I have some invisible border or limit, so I stop reading, and when I come to this invisible state, I just stop. Even though I haven't really finished it or come to the punchline, I just stop reading.
Oh, okay.
And continue because I'm so stressed up and moving along quite quickly. So I prefer micro blogs, short messages that give me some sort of quick feedback. Go to the punchline immediately and skip all the.
Do any of you actively tweet or use Google Plus or Facebook and all of those?
I use Facebook more like a broadcasting system, and I guess the majority of the people that I befriend there are doing the same. It's not really a social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's more broadcasting different kinds of things. Twitter I'm not really using at the moment. I'm hanging out more on Manita Police.
I'm thinking because right now we are blogging and we almost get no comments because all the activity happens on Anita Police. We get, as soon as I post something, you guys are there and everybody. And also, we noticed that Anahita does a better job than a newsletter. Like, we actually had a MailChimp account, and I stopped using it because when I post on a group and all the people who subscribe, they get notifications. That works a lot better than a newsletter. And I was thinking that maybe later in the future, we just jazz up the stories in Anahita, and you can tag them, and you can and they already have context. And I use that as a blog, and we allow more than 500 characters. It was just a thought, because right now a lot I know people on Google Plus with hundreds and thousands of followers. They are using Google Plus instead of blog as a platform because they're getting a much broader reach. But maybe I'm talking to the wrong crowd here. Maybe I should bring people who actually blog and then talk to them. Say, okay, if you didn't have a blog, would you have considered starting a new blog today with all these microblogging tools out there? Maybe a topic for a different hangout.
I know. I follow sports a lot, and I know in the sports world, a lot of the things are just being replaced with quick little tweets.
Yeah.
And you know, you get a lot more information from those than waiting like 3 days later for their article or their little blurb or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too, because I realized, like, for articles are still going to be here, and CMS is not going to go away. CMS is going to be there. But sitting down writing an article, a blog, and then I myself, I just skim through.
People read for once, and then after that it's gone. It's just too much work.
I just don't think I have the attention span to go through a long, like, especially what I don't like are those long articles that I have, that are paginated. I have to go through, read more. And I say, get to the point, man. but again, maybe I should talk to some writers and bloggers and see that what they think about this concept, whether blogging is going to be replaced by microblogging or no, it's still going strong.
I think it's quite a logical evolution we're going through. We're going from the paper press and all those long, well thought through articles of 1 week at a time.
That's true.
And then we're moving over now to the New York Times media. We still think those are too long.
It just reminds me.
You fire all those guys and you hire bloggers instead. That's because I jump into every different kinds of newspapers throughout the day. If nothing has changed, I just like skip it and jump to the next one.
I don't remember the last time I actually read a paper newspaper. And it's something funny because a while ago, Ash and I were sitting in a coffee shop working. We do that a lot. And some fellow came and asked me, like, are you reading this newspaper? And I just by reflex and said, no, man, who reads newspaper these days? Oh, you. it didn't come out right. I think I offended him, but it was just for me a surprise. Like, no, who reads newspaper these days? Like, well, that guy wants to, apparently. But it's true. I think the age of newspaper in dead tree format is probably over. And we should stop killing trees and use tablets instead. Anyhow, I think we're pretty much over for today's session. Guys, wishing you have a productive and prosperous day.
Great, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Have a great day.
See you on
Yeah.
See you there.
Bye.